The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Sports Bash, presented by TicketBash.com. Sports Bash also brought to you by the Embassy Diner, located at 4280 Hempstead Turnpike in Bethpage, by Falcone Law Firm. If you need to speak to an attorney, call them at 631-607-4LAW. That's 631-607-4529. By the Marty Lyons Foundation, the official charity of Sports Bash Media. Visit their website at MartyLyonsFoundation.org. And by Ready Set Studios, a full-service content marketing agency. For a free consultation, call them at 516-509-8277. Again, good morning, everyone. I'm Peter Schwartz, joined as always by Vinny Tickets. And good morning, sir. And we had a great day yesterday with a doubleheader, our regular morning show. And we had that special Yes Network show that we did at night from the event on Monday night. So all good things here on Sports Bash.
Absolutely. A lot of good stuff going on.
And good things going on for our local teams, because the Knicks won again last night. They're 2-0 in this series. The Rangers back in action tonight. The Garden is rocking.
4 days in a row. And four great games.
Absolutely. And the Garden has not been this hot in quite some time. It is with WizKid Vinny on location. The jury is still out on whether he's going to be back tomorrow.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. Jury duty for WizKid Vinny. So I'll handle the Sports Bash Flash, brought to you by the Embassy Diner in Bethpage, where every customer is considered family. The Embassy Diner is located at 4280 Hempstead Turnpike in Bethpage. We will start at the Garden, where Jalen Brunson missed the whole second quarter with a foot injury. But on the 54th anniversary of an injured Willis Reed jogging out of the tunnel at the Garden before Game 7 of the 1970 NBA Finals, Brunson would return in the second half.
14 seconds to shoot. Knicks lead by 6. Brunson to DiVincenzo in the corner. Up top, Hartenstein swings it to Hart. Now Brunson. Shot clock down to 8. Brunson one-on-one with Nembhard. Crosses over a couple of times. Spins in the paint. Floats it up. And in! Knicks lead by 8 with 41 seconds to go. Timeout, Indiana.
Pat O'Keefe on 98.7 ESPN New York. Knicks take game 2, beating the Pacers, winning 131-121. They take a 2-0 series lead. Brunson finishing with 29 points. OG Anunoby had 28 points. He left in the third quarter with a hamstring injury. Game 3 is Friday night in Indiana. Tonight, the Rangers face the Hurricanes in game 3 in Carolina. Blue Shirts lead that series 2-0. Now to baseball. We'll start in the Bronx.
1-2, driven down the left field line. Fair ball, it's gone. Gone, goodbye, Giancarlo Stanton. Oh, Stanton obliterated that one. Out of sight in left field.
Emmanuel Barbari on WFAN. The Yankees beat the Astros 9-4. Mets and Cardinals rained out yesterday in St. Louis. It'll be made up on August 5th. And that is your Sports Bash Flash for this Thursday morning. Now it is time, before we get back into the Knicks and the Rangers a little bit later on in the show. This has been a big week for Long Island lacrosse. Brendan O'Keefe is the number one draft pick in the PLL draft. Brendan O'Neill, excuse me, was the number one pick in the PLL draft. And two women's lacrosse teams here on Long Island are going to the NCAA tournament. Stony Brook is going, and also LIU, the women, are going to the tournament. And I'm proud to be their television play-by-play announcer, along with the men's team. So very happy to welcome to the show this morning LIU women's lacrosse head coach Megan McNamara-Cafiro. Megan, it's Peter and Vinny. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing great. Congratulations. You, the Sharks, are going to be playing at Virginia at 3 o'clock on Friday in round 1 of the NCAA tournament after capturing the NEC title. I know it was a slow start to the season as the girls got things going. How happy with you with this, you know, big winning streak heading into the NCAA tournament?
I'm extremely happy, extremely proud of this group and this team. They never gave up. We had a great out-of-conference schedule, obviously a record. We played phenomenal teams and kept saying, you know, it's going to prepare you for conference. Promise, just keep your head on straight, keep going, keep pushing. And they were determined. I mean, this season they wanted to win the NEC championship. And it's just fantastic to see what they've done and what they sacrificed to put themselves in this position, and then all of a sudden making it to the dance, which I don't think they ever thought was possible.
You know, throughout the course of the season, it was such a joy to watch your team play. So many great players on the team, whether it's an Olivia Fanagrossi or a Julia Traynor. Miley Norton, between the pipes, had a great year in goal. And you saw this group just come together during the course of the season. Was there a point in the year where you really where it really clicked in and you said, this team's got a chance to do something special?
Yes, I actually did. It was right after our loss for Sacred Heart in early March. So once, you know, we had that game, it was our second conference game. It was a tight game, 7-6, and we didn't play as well as we could have. And we sat down with the team, we went over it, and we're like, okay, well, what do we need to do to be able to be successful? And, you know, and that's where I felt the team ultimately clicked, and they realized they were all in it together. And from there, they just really worked hard to try to get the combinations, get the chemistry, you know, strive to create some really, you know, low percentage shots for Miley to be able to see and save. And I think they just took off and ran with it as the games kept going. They just had more and more fun playing with each other.
You know, I think I said this on just about every broadcast that we did for the home games this year. But while, the big names get all of the attention up front scoring goals, whether it's, you know, like I mentioned before, you know, Olivia or Julia, and, there's so many talented players that put the ball in the back of the net. But your team is so good on the back end as well. And the girl I always bring up on the broadcast, and for whatever reason, and this goes back a year ago, Catherine Robles is such a tenacious defender, picks up so many ground balls all over the place, and she always seems to be in the middle of everything. How important is she to what you guys are doing?
Oh my gosh, very important. She brings the energy. You explained her very, very well. She gets all the ground balls. She marks up on majority of their top attackers with the teams that we're facing and limiting them to their points, which is fantastic. And then a huge piece of her transition game. Her energy, she's little, she's small, but she's ferocious. And she's been, clutch for us this year.
So what would you say are the keys to have success in this tournament? And success is defined in a lot of different ways. What do you consider to be a success as you enter this tournament? What would be a good tournament for you?
A big tournament for us is first being able to just
make it there.
We're good at. Yeah, make it there. and just playing the 60 minutes as hard as we could and as hard as we can. I mean, our ultimate goal and the thing that we really took a lot of pride in was playing for 60 minutes and never giving up and giving in. So that's just one of the little pieces to success that I think we're going to be focusing on. And just staying true to being a unit. We're going against Virginia. They have, 7 to 8 dominant offensive players that contribute each game. So just doing our best to be able to limit, their playmaker, number 14, the best that we can, and just having a solid team defense and just making them have to work really hard to be able to score goals. And then offensively, just being confident to be able to handle that pressure and create opportunities, and be confident once they're there and just, and just take them and execute.
You know, it's amazing, Megan, how big women's lacrosse has been. And that just goes in concert with how big women's sports has gotten in recent years. You look at how, big the WNBA is, and they just announced the other day that they're going to start putting their players on charters, which is something that they've been fighting for, the whole equality thing. And it's amazing to me to see the explosion. When I say amazing, I don't say that in a negative way. Obviously, I say it in a positive way, to see so many, girls learning the sport of lacrosse and how big the sport has gotten. And just overall for women's sports, how happy are you with the progress when you see all the things happening?
Oh my gosh, it is unbelievable. Even being part of our organization for lacrosse, the IWLCA, and all the coaches that are on that and that have played internationally and played nationally, they've always been fighting for the women's sports and fighting for women's lacrosse. And seeing even just with the pro league just announcing and having some really phenomenal athletes being able to be part of that, and the growth and just, the footage and being able to get on ESPN. It's been fantastic just seeing that. And it is very empowering. And, and just being a part of that now too, but just seeing where we started and now where we are, and just even with women's basketball, everything, women's sports, it's unbelievable.
Our guest has been LIU Women's Lacrosse Head Coach Megan McNamara-Cafiro. The Sharks playing Virginia 3 o'clock Friday in round one of the NCAA tournament. Best of luck, Megan. All the best on Friday in the tough game against Virginia. It's great being part of the LIU family, and my participation is going to get bigger because you know my son Bradley is going to play football at LIU in the fall, so we're excited to be on campus a little bit more.
Oh, I cannot wait to see you even more than I see you now. So I'm so happy for you.
Awesome. Thank you. Good luck tomorrow. Go Sharks.
Go Sharks.
Thank you very much.
All right. Best of luck to the LIU women's lacrosse team against Virginia tomorrow in the NCAA tournament. When we come back, we'll talk about the Knick game last night, the Ranger game tonight, the Yankees red hot again. We've got This Day in Sports History on tape with Whiskey and Vinny. It's all coming up. Sports Bash presented by TicketBash.com.
We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks.
Say go New York, go New York, go!
Welcome back to Sports Bash presented by TicketBash.com. Had to come back with Go New York, Go New York, Go after another big playoff win for the Knicks last night against the Indiana Pacers. Game two at the Garden. Knicks up 2-0. And I didn't get a chance to watch any of the game until the fourth quarter, getting home from our special show last night. But we were following along, you know, on social media and the scores and seeing what was happening. And again, you know, I've talked about this on the show before. This is why this team is so fun to watch, so easy to root for. Nothing gets them down. You talk about all the things that could have derailed their season this year, whether it was Julius Randle getting hurt. Brunson gets nicked up at times during the season. Mitchell Robinson was out forever. Now he's going to be out again because he got injured in game one on Monday night. But they find a way to get the job done.
Absolutely. You know, those words I keep hearing over and over and over again. They find a way.
631-451-1039 is the number to call. Sports Bash here on 103.9 FM, LI News Radio, and also on our other platforms, Facebook as well as YouTube and others. We'll take your phone calls at 631-451-1039. But it's time for This Day in Sports History, brought to you by Living Legends Memorabilia and Collectibles in Rockville Center. Give Warren a call at 516-826-4000. Ask about a Living Legends charity auction for your organization. Here is WizKid Vinny.
Me, WizKid Vinny LaSpinusa, with your sports moment of the day. In 1984, the Chicago White Sox outdueled the Milwaukee Brewers in what was the longest MLB game in history by time, playing for a total of 8 hours and 6 minutes, good enough for 25 innings of baseball. That's right. Back in 1984, when the Brewers were still an American League team, they were against the Chicago White Sox, a team they had a bit of a rivalry with. The first 17 innings were played on May 8th. That's right. First 17 innings were played the previous day, and they just keep hitting back and forth, and they had to call the game off, and then they finished up the next day, and they had like a quasi-doubleheader, and it went all the way to the 25th inning when future Hall of Fame player and Harold Baines hit a single home run to get the win for the Sox, 7-6. Here's another fun fact about that game. Tom Seaver played in both games and got the win for the White Sox on both of those. So if that's two Hall of Famers that contributed to a historic day in baseball history, and on this day, 40 years ago, we should celebrate it.
All right, Vinny, thank you very much. Another great This Day in Sports History from Vinny, brought to you by Living Legends Memorabilia and Collectibles in Rockville Center. Could you have sat out at a baseball game for 8 hours?
Ugh. Listen, I am a student of the game. I love the game of baseball and all the intricacies of the game, but I think maybe 4 hours might be my limit. I don't know.
Some of those Yankee postseason games, you know, in the late 90s into the early 2000s, you know,
well, some of them changed it a little bit. Some postseason games,
right? But yeah, you know, you obviously they're going to go a little longer, national TV and all that stuff. I do like the fact that they put in the pitch clock, and I think, listen, not that I'm in a hurry to leave the game once I get there, but I think what it's done is it's taken out the waiting. Like, you could be sitting there like, oh, just you know, pitch the ball. So
right.
I think when you look at some of the lousy things that they've added to baseball, I like the pitch clock.
So, quick question, and I don't know if you know this answer. I'm sure Wiz would know. Maybe we'll save it for tomorrow. Have they looked at the actual time and how much it has gone down since?
Yeah, well, they looked. You know, they came out with numbers last year when it started.
Yeah.
And it was taking, you know, a good half an hour, I think, on average. I don't know what the exact numbers were.
So it reduced the average game time by 30 minutes.
It sure did. I mean, yeah. Like now, you know, it's funny because Michael Kay, the Yankees TV announcer, when he does the recap of the game, he did it when he was on radio, and he does it on Yes Network now too. But he would say, and here's a recap, Yankees, you know, 9 runs, 10 hits, 1 error. The Mets, no runs, 8 hits, and 3 errors. And the time of the game is a manageable 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So anything that was 3 hours or under, he would always call
manageable.
But anyway, and this Yankee 13-12 win over the Orioles was played in an unmanageable 4 hours and 10 minutes. So, you know, like. But that is what the pitch clock has done.
Yeah.
It has taken away the dead time. Now, think about it. The dead time in baseball is untimed. Like, there's no clock on it. You go to a football game and, you know, players run. You've got the time in between the plays, but the clock is running. So, that, you know, unless the ball was
incomplete
or there was a penalty or whatever it is. So, it's a continuous thing. I like that they did that in baseball. And I think it's easy, especially bring young kids to the game. The young kids have a very short attention span. Now you have all these other things going on at the ballpark. So like they're like, oh, I want to go to the playground. I want to go to this. I want to go get a hot dog. It keeps everybody focused. I think even if, as an adult, it keeps you focused. The pitcher gets the ball back, and he's not standing there, you know, kicking the dirt and, you know.
Picking up the rosin bag,
you know, get throw the ball.
Yeah.
So, so yeah, we talked about the Knicks, and we've got the Rangers tonight in Carolina. And talk about, you mentioned before, two great first games of that series. Now it goes to Carolina. I thought this was going to be a 6 or 7 game season series going into it. I really thought Carolina had to get one of the first two, and especially when the second game went to double overtime, they had to get that one. To me, I don't think this series goes past 5 games now.
Wow. You heard it
here first. And Carolina is a good home team, but I don't see now how they can. Because remember, when you fall down 2-0 in a playoff series, you now have to win 4 of the next 5 games.
Right.
That's why the numbers are so incredibly in favor of a team that jumps out 2-0. Like you do is you win your 2 games at home, you're right back in the series. Well, it's not as easy as that.
No.
Anyway, especially against a really good Rangers team. But think about when you're down 2-0, you have to win 4 of the next 5 games against a really good team. So I just don't see how that's going to happen.
Yeah, I never thought of that. That's a great point, Peter.
Right, and I mean, there's two.
So has there ever been? I know there's one sport we were talking about where a team goes down 3-0.
Oh, it's happened. It happened a number of times in hockey. The Islanders were actually the second team to do it. They did it in 1975 against the Penguins. The Maple Leafs were the first team ever in sports history. They think they did it, I want to say it was in the 60s when they did that. But you've had examples. Remember, the Yankees were up 3-0 against the Red Sox. You asked me for examples, and I'm giving it to you.
There you go.
And by the way, 631-451-1039 is the number to call us here on Sports Bash. But you also had a couple other hockey series in recent years where teams were down 3-0. See, in that respect, when you think about being down 3-0, and it doesn't happen very often, but how many times do you see during the course of a regular season? You win 3, you lose 4. You win 5, you lose 7.
Very streaky.
So, but it just doesn't happen in the playoffs, because remembering in the playoffs, you're playing against a good team. And you're playing against the same team. You're not playing, you know, you haven't, you know, you've lost 3 games in a row to good teams, and now the next 4 are tomato cans, and you can win the next 4 games. You're playing the same team that you just lost to 3 times. So that's why it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. So I and listen, I think if if you're the Indiana Pacers, and home court could be a little different in the NBA as opposed to hockey and baseball. But if you're the Indiana Pacers, you had no breaks go your way at all in the first two games. Wow. Now you're going home, and you have to. I think the Pacers should feel better about their 0-2 hole than the Carolina Hurricanes should, because the Rangers are a machine, and I think this series is over in 4 or 5. But I wouldn't be shocked if we're talking, especially now the Knicks continue to be banged up. And by the way, Rick Carlisle, you can make all the excuses you want about the officiating last night. You're crying about small market, deserves chances. How many injuries the Knicks have, and they still found a way to win?
Yeah.
So I don't want to hear from Rick Carlisle and the people in America's heartland about how bad the officiating was. Get the job done.
Absolutely. The 78 violations they just filed. Did you see that?
Yeah.
They filed 78.
Well, stop crying about it. The Knicks keep losing big players, and they figure out a way to win.
Let's go, baby.
That's it. Let's go, Knicks. That'll do it for this edition of Sports Bash, presented by TicketBash.com. Thanks to our guest, LIU Women's Lacrosse Coach Megan McNamara-Cafiro. Sports Bash also sponsored by the Embassy Diner in Bethpage, Falcone Law Firm, the Marty Lyons Foundation, and Ready Set Studios. For our entire crew, I'm Peter Schwartz, along with Vinny Tickett, saying thank you for watching and listening. We're back tomorrow morning for another edition of Sports Bash. Have a good day, everyone.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.